day. When he's talked about war, Allen Ginsberg said, how many people died? Nobody wants to tell. It gives a lousy image of a war they've got to sell. Well, we're tired of selling war, and we ain't buying it no damn more. While war rages on under the command of an American president who won the Nobel Peace Prize, the words of an American protester who also won the Peace Prize are more relevant than ever. In an address he gave in New York City's famous Riverside Church on April 4th, 1967, a year to the day before he was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King thundered, "The greatest purveyor of violence in the world today is my own government. For the sake of the hundreds of thousands of people trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent. We cannot be silent either." Silence is not always golden. Sometimes it's just plain yellow. Whether a Democrat or a Republican sits in the Oval Office, a strong and striking and strident anti-war movement is needed across the nation and around the world today. Though Obama accepted his party's nomination in 2008, on the 45th anniversary of King's I Have a Dream speech in 1963, and though he was inaugurated as president in 2009, as Americans celebrated the holiday honoring the slain civil rights leader Martin Luther King, the continuation of wars begun during the Republican regime of George W. Bush would no doubt be protested by Dr. Martin Luther King if he were alive today. In a much anticipated April 13th speech on America's financial crisis, the president garnered high praise in the New York Times, which said, the man America elected president has reemerged. Not so fast, New York Times. So he vowed to reduce deficits and save Medicare from the plunder and perdition of the Republicans, those who had hoped for audacity from the administration on matters of war, peace, and the bloated military budget were once again disappointed. If only President Obama were as leftist as some of his caterwauling, crybaby conservative critics claim that he is, then this nation might at last be marching away from war. Instead, the wise words of warning against the power of the military-industrial complex, voiced 50 years ago by President Dwight Eisenhower, a Republican and an Army general, those wise words go unheeded, and the caissons go rolling along.
Guys, wait a minute.
So far, about 1,500 American troops have died in the Afghanistan war that President Obama has escalated. Another 4,500 have died during the invasion and occupation of Iraq. The death toll among American military men and women in the two conflicts is now twice the death toll of Americans who died in the terrorist attacks of 9/11. And that's just the American deaths. How quickly we forget about the civilian deaths of Iraqis and Afghanis and Pakistanis and other people all over the world under the heel of the American imperialism. Now America's wars expand into countries like Pakistan and Libya, while politicians mouth platitudes about improving America's economy and infrastructure, the Pentagon's growing war budget is a sacred cow that is virtually immune from the budget cutting of both Democrats and Republicans, or should I say Demopublicans and Republicrats. Today, America's military spending is higher than the military spending of China, Great Britain, France, and Russia combined, and the so-called defense budget now costs U.S. taxpayers about $1 trillion seem intractable. A 2007 report by the Congressional Budget Office said that the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan could cost American taxpayers well over $2 trillion by 2017. Now, to give you an idea how much trillion is, a billion, well, a B is 1,000 million. A trillion is 1,000 billion. That's a lot of money, folks. That's more than I'm making a week. The Nobel Prize winning economist Joseph Stiglitz is even more pessimistic. He's got a new book out that is titled The $3 Trillion War, The True Cost of the Iraq Conflict. The scourge of war continues, and the Pentagon cracks the whip. Writer Bob Herbert summarized the situation well in a farewell column that he wrote in the New York Times in March. Bob Herbert said, overwhelming imbalances in wealth and income inevitably result in enormous imbalances of political power. So the corporations and the wealthy continue to do well. The unemployment crisis never gets addressed. The wars never end, and nation building never gets a foothold here at home. New ideas and new leadership have seldom been more urgently needed. Well, you know where the new ideas and the new leadership is going to come from? It ain't going to come from Wall Street. It ain't going to come from the corporate backrooms and boardrooms. It's going to come from people like y'all. It was people like y'all that got women the right to vote. Women didn't get the right to vote because guys all of a sudden just turned so nice. Black people didn't fight against segregation and win the civil rights struggle because the segregationists all of a sudden had a change of heart. Hell no! The women and the blacks did just like Millard Farmer talks about. They put their feet in the street. Yeah. We're going to put our feet in the street too. Because we've come to be a country that had a Pledge of Allegiance that was written in 1892 by a socialist named Charles Bellamy. A socialist wrote America's original Pledge of Allegiance. It's a 400th anniversary commemoration of Columbus's voyage. In 1892, a socialist, Charles Bellamy, wrote the Pledge of Allegiance that we have now. But I, since the Supreme Court has just given free rein to corporate power in the political arena, I have come up with a new Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the logo of the corporate state of America and to the plutocracy for which it stands. One nation incorporated under surveillance with literal injustice for oil. It's time to take America back from the greedy grasp of the ruling class. It's time to kick the ass of the ruling class. It's time to raise issues, raise consciousness, raise hell. I'll see you right here next year. God bless you. It's the end of the season. See you next winter. Into my anarchy. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God.